Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Great to be here today. We have an excellent show, as always. With us in the booth today, we have Gene Hample, who's the founder of the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound. Welcome to the Dog Talk Show, Gene.
Hello.
Great to have you back in the booth.
It's nice to be here again.
We are celebrating International Assistance Dog Week this week, which is a week created to recognize all the devoted, hardworking assistance dogs helping individuals mitigate their disability-related limitations. So we're going to be talking with Gene about all things assistance dogs, and it's going to be a great show. And we're doing some special assistance dog-related Dog Talk Show trivia today. So get near a phone if you aren't right now, because we're going to be taking callers later in the show. You can call in and hopefully answer our trivia questions correctly and have an opportunity to win some great prizes. We have a portable dog food and water bowl, collapsible, a tennis ball with a sort of nylon loop attached to it for easy flinging, a poop bag holder and that attaches to the leash with a roll of poop bags. Also a voucher for a free pint of raw goat's milk. Answers pet food, raw goat's milk for dogs and cats. It's excellent stuff. And so we have actually two prize packages to give away today. Later in the show, Dog Talk Show trivia. And then Eric, our booth engineer and program coordinator here at KKNW, is going to have an opportunity to win some salmon treats for his cats.
All right.
Yep.
Can't wait.
Eric loves dogs, but is currently with cats.
That's right.
And so we're throwing a bone, so to speak, to the cats.
Throwing
today.
A salmon bone.
Right. Throwing some meat. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. The Dog Talk Show is also brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care. AllTheBestPetCare.com. Check out their website to see where all of their 9 locations are around Western Washington for all the best food, treats, and toys for your dog and cat. So, Gene, so you are the founder of the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound. And how long has that club been? How long has it been since you founded it?
Founded the club sort of inception in 1999. We became a nonprofit in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been going strong ever since.
Excellent. And so what is it that you do? What is all included with your club?
Well, the Assistance Dog Club is a peer support group for people with disabilities who are partnered with assistance dogs or think they'd like to be partnered, their family members, and some of the local trainers. And we provide a safe, supportive, educational environment for our service dog partners.
Mm-hmm. And so you have regular meetings that your members attend? And
we meet once a month on the fourth Saturday of the month, usually.
Uh-huh.
We also hold a conference every year.
Uh-huh.
And at each of our meetings, we always have an educational, have a speaker come and do an educational presentation.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And you've also got some other stuff I'd like to mention about you. You are the chair of the Disabilities Committee for the National Association of Obedience Instructors, also a member of the Association of Pet Dog Trainers, a retired nurse yourself, and a veteran in the field of service dog training. And Gene's website for the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound is www.assistancedogclub.org if you'd like to check them out online. And so this week is International Assistance Dog Week, which was started by an organization or a group called Working Like Dogs, and they have a book out?
That's correct. They wrote a wonderful book called Working Like Dogs, the Service Dog Guidebook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a good resource for a person who's thinking about getting an assistance dog to see what the process is. It speaks to so many aspects of life with an assistance dog.
Mm-hmm. And I like, you know, something to really point out again, if it wasn't clear in my initial acknowledgement of International Assistance Dog Week, is that it's really devoted or created to recognize the devoted, hardworking assistance dogs. And acknowledging the dogs for what they do.
And that's correct. And that's really what I want to talk about today. We so often hear wonderful, heartwarming stories about service dog teams.
Mm-hmm.
But the dog is sort of the unwitting portion of the team.
Yeah.
They really don't get to make the choice of mm-hmm. whether they're going to grow up and be a service dog.
Yeah.
It's a choice that we make for them.
Yeah.
And because we make that choice for them, then it's our responsibility to provide them with the best life that we can.
Absolutely. And there's so many factors in that, you know, talking about, well, what are some characteristics that you look for in a dog that, you know, in order for them to be a service dog? I think that there's some things that people might be able to imagine if they don't know anything about service dogs, you know, temperament wise. But there's probably a lot of things that people may not think about that really need to be looked at closely to see if the dog is, you know, a good candidate.
It's really true. You know, we look at dogs both from a puppy perspective, because some programs usually puppy raise,
mm-hmm.
and even the programs that, you know, do a phenomenal job of puppy raising have a 40-50% dropout rate,
mm-hmm.
puppies that just don't want to grow up to be service dogs. And I often tell people, you know, I'm a nurse by profession, but if you told me that I had to work 24/7, I wouldn't think it was fun.
Right.
I work for 8 hours and I go home.
Mm-hmm.
And with our service dogs, a lot of them don't want to be nurses when they grew up. They want to be teachers. They want to be airplane pilots. And so you can't put a square peg in a round hole.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the puppies just don't have what it takes to be a service dog.
And I think, you know, in my experience with Healing Allies and learning all that I've learned being involved with Darcy and Healing Allies is that, you know, really looking that it's something that the dog wants to do. It's the sense that it's a dog that wants a job, you know, a lot, and even needs a job really to be happy.
You know, for some of the dogs, that would make one think that the temperament you'd want is a dog that's a workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, service dogs spend a lot of downtime.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be the dog that can work when it needs to work and relax when it has downtime.
Yeah.
So that if you get a dog that may be a phenomenal worker, but is really a little high strung.
Like my cattle dog.
Yes, like your cattle dog. Sometimes they really start to stress out because they're working when they're working, but the downtime drives them crazy.
Yes.
And so when we're looking at a dog, they have to be so balanced in temperament.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be a dog that wants to be with you, that is very not too social.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, Golden Retrievers and Labradors are two breeds that we used so frequently for service dogs. And yet sometimes we get one that is actually too social.
Mm-hmm.
They love everybody.
Right.
And they're not focused enough on their person.
Yeah.
But the other side of the coin is that if you use some of the breeds that are really working dogs,
right.
they become so focused on their person that they become a little distrustful of strangers. And people with service dogs are around strangers all the time.
Yeah. And so, you know, the balance of the work ethic or the need or want to work. Very good point, because there's a lot of dogs out there. I know my cattle dogs being two of them that love to work. I mean, they live to work, but it's the job that they want to do is, you know, herding and that type of thing, which wouldn't be appropriate. And for many other reasons too, but you know, and I think of dogs like the word that really sticks to me is balance and being able to turn it off and also giving them an opportunity to turn it off too, make sure that they have enough downtime.
And dogs really do. You know, the original service dogs, the original assistance dogs. There's always a little confusion about the term mm-hmm. assistance dogs being the broad umbrella of guide, hearing, and then service dogs for other disabilities, were the guide dogs. And we see guide dogs working and we just are so amazed. But the truth of the matter is guide dogs have an amazing amount of downtime because once their owner is back in their home, they can get around that house just fine. Mm-hmm. So the dog, once it's in the house, is really not working. Unfortunately, with our service dogs, most of them do a lot of work in the house. And so you have to really set time for them to have downtime.
Mm-hmm. And what about playtime?
You know, play is just so important for dogs. And my experience is that most assistance dogs do not get enough playtime. Mm-hmm. They get a bone to chew, but they just don't get out and get to be dogs. Mm-hmm. And partly because the people who have these dogs don't themselves have the capability to take the dog. You know, I this week went on a 2.5 mile hike, and my dog got to run free the whole time.
Mm.
But that's not something a blind person couldn't do that because they wouldn't be able to see their dog. Mm. Someone in a wheelchair, it'd be really hard for them to find a place that they could go for 2.5 miles where their dog could be safe.
Mm-hmm.
So it is harder for these dogs to be exercised, and it's more difficult for to find meaningful play for them so that they can actually relax.
Mm-hmm. So the downtime and then also the playtime where they're being active but just letting go. Right. Right. And so, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about assistance dogs, service dogs. I'd like to talk a little bit about about sort of the partnership and what you've seen over the years of common challenges people face, both dogs and people being partnered over time. And also curious about the history of recognition of assistance dogs in general. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
For an extra bark or an extra smile, 'cause I never felt so free. It was just my dog and me.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Dr. Don's Automotive recommends servicing your air conditioning and cabin filters regularly to minimize noise for sound-sensitive dogs and to keep your puppy cool in the summer heat. Visit DrDon'sAutomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
You listen to us, now we want to hear from you. We're ready to listen as you tell us about yourself, the radio programs you love, and your likes and dislikes. All you have to do is log on to 1150kknw.com, that's 1150kknw.com, and fill out the 2011 Alternative Talk Listener Survey. As a thank you, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Victoria, BC, including transportation, lodging, and continental champagne breakfast. Log on to 1150kknw.com because we're listening. Contest rules and details online at 1150kknw.com.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Good news, Belgium. We're streamed worldwide at 1150kknw.com. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Comes back to tell me that the coast is clear. It's a different world I see when it's just my dog and me.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we're back today with Gene Hampel, who's the founder of the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound. Welcome back, Gene.
Thank you.
And we are celebrating and acknowledging the first annual International Assistance Dog Week, which is going on this current week, and how it's really was created to recognize the dogs and the work that they do. And so we've been talking a bit about what types of dogs are suited for assistance dog work. And so I just want to clarify, too, the distinction between an assistance dog and a service dog. And that there's, so will you clarify that for us?
You know, the legal term is service animal, mm-hmm. Both federal and state law. And the guide dogs had been around for so long that I don't think they wanted to change their name.
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately what happened is the community, the service dog industry, put an umbrella, and the umbrella was assistance dogs, and under the umbrella were guide dogs, or dogs for people with visual impairments, hearing dogs for people with auditory impairments, and then all of the other disabilities were grouped under the title of service dog.
Okay. So service animal is the sort of technical term,
that's
or legal
correct.
Term.
That's the legal term.
Okay. And something that I, on a regular basis, encounter with people in my life, in conversations about service animals, is the confusion between therapy dogs and service dogs, or service animals. And so the therapy versus service. And when I say, you know, mention a service dog, and, oh, yeah, I always wanted to do that with my dog. And it's like, no, that's therapy dogs. Difference. Big difference. So what is the distinction between those two?
Okay. Well, a service animal is defined as, in the new law, a dog who assists a person with a disability. A therapy dog is a dog they're wonderful dogs, very well trained, who go into facilities like nursing homes and hospitals and visit people. The READ program, which has dogs coming in to children read to the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But the dog itself is not working one-on-one with a person with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
And the access rights of people with disabilities to have their service dog, the right belongs to the person, not the dog. They just have the right to be accompanied by a fully trained service dog.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if somebody is considering being partnered with a service animal, you had mentioned that that's a role that your club might play if somebody's sort of thinking about it or wanting to learn more about it. That would be a great resource. But where do they start? What should they look for?
You know, I tell people, you know, I get so many phone calls of people, I have a prescription from my doctor for a service dog.
Mm.
And I smile and say into the phone, then I suggest you go to the pharmacy. Prescriptions, the doctor may say that you would benefit from a service dog, but the place to start is to do a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
And to utilize the different programs that are out there. Assistance Dogs International has a wonderful website. that will give you the information of dogs, of programs that and type of dogs they train, because not every program trains for every disability. But there are standards and ethics within Assistance Dogs International, so that if you're working with a program, it is buyer beware, mm-hmm. and that way you have a, you can go back and you can go to the organization and say, this is going wrong, or better yet, this really went right. Mm-hmm. You can get also a lot of information about service dogs on the International Association of Assistance Dog Partners website, mm-hmm. which is IAADP.org. Mm-hmm. And it talks about all aspects of service dogs, using service dogs, what tasks dogs can do for specific disabilities. But you really need to do your homework. So often people just jump into it. A lot of times I'll have mothers call me who have children that are disabled, mm-hmm. and they read all the feel-good stories.
Sure.
And they really feel that this would be something appropriate for their child. And in fact, it may be. Mm-hmm. But it is adding more work. And because a dog is like having another child in the family.
Right.
And so they really need to do a lot of research before they, you know, jump in and think that the dog is going to fix everything.
Right. And then what about the training that's involved? You know, the difference between self-training versus having a dog professionally trained, and how long it takes, that training takes, because the service, you know, by definition, they're trained to perform tasks that mitigate the symptoms of a disability. So the task training, it's not just having a well-behaved dog. It's about the tasks that they're doing. And so the differences in that, too. I mean, what is your experience with that?
You know, if you start with an adult dog that is perfect, and that means they have good hips, good eyes, good elbows, they have the right temperament, a trainer, a professional trainer, can probably take that dog and in 6 months have it functioning well in public, doing public access, and have taught it tasks to do. If I'm looking for a dog that needs to retrieve, that's one of the things the person needs, I'm going to start with a dog that likes to retrieve.
Right.
You know, it, again, not trying to put a square peg into a round hole.
Sure.
You can really do it in 6 months, but I'm talking a professional trainer.
Right.
And programs are using professional trainers.
Yeah.
Where owner training, you know, unfortunately, most people out in the general public don't know how to choose a dog.
Yeah.
They don't even know how to choose a dog as a pet for their own home, mm-hmm. the dog that is best with them. Service dogs are sort of like a marriage.
Yeah.
You're really looking for someone that you're going to make a lifetime commitment to.
Very compatible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And finding, and then taking that dog and making sure that it's orthopedically sound, that it's physically healthy, and then begin the training process. I've had people get what they call their, going to be my new service dog, actually not even know how to housebreak to begin.
Mm.
And, you know, when you think in terms of a dog being trained by a professional trainer, and then you're thinking of somebody who wants to train their own dog that has done so little research into training that even housebreaking is a problem, it's sort of like, you know, trying to do open heart surgery.
Right. And I liken it to languages. I mean, I don't know the first thing about Japanese. I don't know how the language is structured. I don't know any Japanese words, I don't think. Well, maybe, yeah. So imagine trying to, you know, me trying to learn from somebody about how to speak Japanese and then try to teach somebody else who doesn't know it at all at the same time as I'm learning.
And dog training in all aspects is very much like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell my pet students how difficult it is for them in class because they are learning at the same time I'm expecting them to teach. And we all know that in any profession, that is not the way you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first you learn it and then you teach it.
Right.
And that's one of the drawbacks of owner training is many owner trainers are trying to learn as they go, which really just makes it harder for the dog and makes the process of instructing so much longer.
Right. So now you have Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound is on Facebook.
That's correct.
You have a Facebook fan page. So just search for Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound on Facebook and you can like them. We also have the Dog Talk Show also has a Facebook fan page as well. So you can find us on Facebook and like us. Your website is assistancedogclub.org.
That's correct.
So people can find you online there. Wanted to give out the website for Working Like Dogs, which is workinglikedogs.com. And they sort of the had the idea of this week, International Assistance Dog Week. And it's a great book. And again, that's workinglikedogs.com. Now, we're going to do some dog talk show trivia. And, you know, it feels like it's been a while since we've done dog talk show trivia. And I think it's because it has been a while. But we've got some great little prize packs to give away. So we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, Jean is going to help me with Dog Talk Show Trivia. We have two opportunities for people to win. And so what's included in this prize pack are a tennis ball with a nylon strap for flinging, easy flinging, this really nice collapsible food or water bowl, and leash, well, it's a poop bag, not a treat bag, poop bag holder and dispenser with a roll of poop bags that attaches to the leash, and also a voucher for a free pint of Answers raw goat's milk, which I have just been loving for my own dogs and recommending to people all over the place. And the poop bag holder and the bowl and the tennis ball were donated by Eastside Insurance Services, which is one of our advertisers. And they are specifically they represent a number of different companies, but these ones are from Progressive Insurance. But just wanted to thank them for providing these gifts for our listeners. Again, that's Eastside Insurance Services. And you can find them online at www.e-z-insurance.com. Definitely recommend giving them a call and just getting a quote to compare your insurance and make sure that you're getting the coverage that you need. Auto insurance, home insurance, they're great. e-z-insurance.com. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, it's Dog Talk Show Trivia. So I'm going to give out the number. I'm not. I'm going to wait until we come back from break, and then I'm going to give out the number, and then you can call in and try to win these great prizes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Do you know there is an insurance company that offers great rates, quality service, and cares about your furry companions? Progressive will help cover the cost of your vet bills if you and your pet are involved in an accident. Call the good guys at Eastside Insurance, who represent Progressive Insurance and other fine companies. Contact Tom or Chuck at e-z-insurance.com for a free quote or call 877-817-4103. Eastside Insurance, where you and your pet can rest insured.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Anti-Icky Poo, we cover the world of animals. This week, Mystic Robin Luxus joins me for the show. Together, we'll be tuning in to different specific animal situations and finding out what the animals have to say and what lesson we humans have to learn. For starters, I'm interested in the recent human killings by grizzly and polar bears and the Forest Service proposal to kill thousands of barred owls to save spotted owls. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com. Or follow them on Facebook.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Made fresh each day for you. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are back today with our guest, Gene Hampel, who's the founder of the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound. Welcome back, Gene.
Good to be here.
All right. Got some dog talk show trivia. And I have two opportunities for listeners to win these prize packs. And all you have to do is call in and try to answer the trivia question correctly. I have two questions. And I also have a special dog talk show trivia question for Eric to win some salmon treats for his cats.
Ooh.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
I know they're probably listening in on, you know, the edge of their seats.
Yes, salivating. Okay, so give us a call, 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. The first question is true or false, so 50-50, really, if you don't know the answer. Emotional support, so true or false, emotional support from an animal's presence alone qualifies the animal as a service animal. True or false? 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Give us a call and answer this question correctly, and you have won yourself a tennis ball with nylon strap for easy flinging, a collapsible travel dog food and water bowl, a poop bag dispenser and roll of poop bags that attaches to your leash, as well as a voucher for a free pint of raw goat's milk, good for both dogs and cats. And I'm loving this stuff. We've been giving it to our dogs, and the impact that it's having, positive impact on digestion and immune function. There's a lot of really interesting science around that. So the lines have lit up, Gene. So we'll see. Now, this is the easier of the two questions, so the next one is a little harder and very interesting, too. So I'll be interested to hear your feedback about the next question, too, Gene, because it is curious. So, again, the question, true or false, emotional support from an animal's presence alone qualifies the animal as a service animal. And Darcy's getting the callers in. Here we go. We've got Jennifer on line one.
What? We'll have her in just a moment.
Oh, I'm jumping the gun here with That's Jennifer. Right. Jennifer's was first in line.
I think
line
you're
here.
More excited about playing dog talk show trivia than anybody.
I've been excited.
Even though you don't win the prizes.
All week. Well, yeah, but I get to give them away. That's just as fun.
Absolutely.
True or false, emotional support from an animal's presence alone qualifies the animal as a service animal. Now, we do have another question after this, so I'll give out the number again so you can get ready. 425-373-5527.
All
okay,
right.
Jennifer in Snohomish. Are
Hi.
You there? Hi.
Thanks. I am. Hi.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
So true or false, emotional support from an animal's presence alone qualifies the animal as a service animal?
I'm going to say true.
Ooh, I'm sorry. That is the incorrect answer, and unfortunately, that gives the correct answer away.
Yeah.
But thanks so much for trying, Jennifer, and thanks for calling in. Now, do you have a dog?
I do. I have two.
What kind of dogs do you have?
I have a Black Lab mix and a Husky mix that we just adopted about a week ago.
Oh, good. How's it going?
Yeah. It's going really well. He just got neutered a couple days ago, and we're just working on training him. He's about 10 months old, and my other dog is about two, so we have some work to do.
Yeah. You got some energy in the house then, huh?
We do, a lot.
Excellent.
Because it matches ours.
Yeah. Well, that's good, and it's good that you're getting going on training right away.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
Jennifer,
exactly.
Thank you so much. I'm going to send you back to Darcy, and I will mail you out if you want some Dog Talk Show car stickers for playing.
Great. Cool.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Going to put you on hold and send you back to Darcy. Okay. Well, unfortunately, that does give the answer away. So, but it is false. And it's in your experience, Jean. Now, and this kind of ties into the new definition of a service animal. So let's talk about that before we ask our second question.
This, in 2010, the Department of Justice changed the definition of a service animal to the term actually service dog. But the big thing they brought out was that the dog had to be individually trained to do work or perform tasks for the person with the disability. And by doing that, they also said that just providing companionship or emotional support did not make a dog a service animal.
Mm-hmm. So just the comfort that perhaps...
That just really makes them just a dog, right? Because all dogs that are your loving pet are, you know, emotionally supportive.
And... Well, there's a lot of really interesting information out there about the physiological impact, even that being in the present in the room, and not just with dogs but other animals as well, can really have a very powerful calming effect on people, and that is very true, and that does not qualify them as a service dog.
That's correct. And I think when you use the term in the question alone, they have to be task trained.
Right. All right. So here's our next question. This one's a little harder and very interesting. Okay, so again, number 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Call in and answer this question correctly, and you win this wonderful gift pack from Eastside Insurance Services. That's e-z-insurance.com. Okay, as of March 15th, 2011, only service dogs and trained blank. So what animal to fill in the blank are protected under the Americans with Disabilities Act? As of March 15th, 2011, only service dogs and trained blank, so what animal fills in the blank, are protected under the Americans with Disabilities Act? Now, this is multiple choice. So call in, try to answer this question, 425-373-5527. Only service dogs and trained blank are protected under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Is it A, monkeys, B, snakes, C, miniature horses?
I really hope it's C.
As of March 15th, 2011, only service dogs and trained blank are protected under the Americans with Disabilities Act. A, monkeys, B, snakes, C, miniature horses. 425-373-5527, and we are going to take Trina on line one. Hi, Trina.
Hi, Julie.
Do you think you know the answer to this one?
I hope I don't know the answer to this one.
So
miniature horses.
Yay! Well
Yay!
Done.
Well, I was pondering between, you know, monkeys and snakes, but
yeah.
I went to the horses.
So, miniature horses. Well done, Trina. Thank you. And we're going to send you back to Darcy and get your mailing information, and then we will get this wonderful prize pack out to you, donated by Eastside Insurance Services.
Sure.
So, thanks for playing.
Thank you.
Now, Jean, this is curious to me. So, miniature horses are protected under the Americans with Disabilities Act?
You know, they are. When they first
I was really thinking it was monkeys. Sorry to interrupt there, but I was surprised by that answer.
Yeah.
I was hoping. But
no, not monkeys.
That was surprising.
But when we think of service dogs or service animals, we
right.
think of the public access that comes along with having the animal, because one of the reasons a lot of people have a service animal is that they actually take them out in public with them and they assist them out in public. And the miniature horses that have been trained, most for guide, some for balance, do have an appropriate place to work in Montana and Idaho and some of your more rural communities. And those animals will live for 25 years.
Mm.
And so they sort of grandfather them in. And if a place of public accommodation can provide for them, so if a restaurant is big enough and there's room for the horse to be in there, the American with Disabilities Act has said that those areas of public accommodation need to allow them. Whether or not there'll be more horses being trained, there are not a lot of them out there,
yeah.
Is questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Because now that the law specifically says that a service animal is a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see less and less use of the miniature horses because it's just easier to use the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Though the benefits, the ones that are out there and trained are wonderful animals, and they do their job very well.
Are you familiar with the training process for a miniature horse? You know how long it takes?
You know, I don't know how long it takes. I do know that they are very frequently clicker trained.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few... again, if you're going to have miniature horses and you're a program going to train them, you're going to have to be living fairly rural so
sure.
that you have stalls and you have paddocks and you have
accommodations yeah.
for the horses. And of course, you know, horses like dogs, you know, cannot be working when they're very young. So, you know, you're going to be raising that horse for, you know, 2 or 3 years before they're actually trained.
Is there as much variation in the temperament question for with horses as there is with dogs?
I would think there would be, because horses basically are flight animals.
Yeah.
And so, again, looking for that balance in a horse that doesn't see something that scares it and just takes off to be stable enough to be a guide animal
yeah.
Is a lot of work.
Yeah. Hmm. Very interesting. Well, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have more points of conversation with Gene Hample, who is the founder of the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound. We are celebrating this week, International Assistance Dog Week, and I also have a Dog Talk Show trivia question for Eric to win some Wildside Salmon cat treats for his cats. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Let Hot Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Artist Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. You can even include yourself in the painting, and you're sure to love the end result. To find out more, visit hotportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net. Or call Jennifer at 206-661-4538.
You listen to us, now we want to hear from you. We're ready to listen as you tell us about yourself, the radio programs you love, and your likes and dislikes. All you have to do is log on to 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com and fill out the 2011 Alternative Talk Listener Survey. As a thank you, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Victoria, BC, including transportation, lodging, and continental champagne breakfast. Log on to 1150kknw.com because we're listening. Contest rules and details online at 1150kknw.com.
Clear, clean, and crisp. Check us out in digital quality sound on FM 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. We are talking with Gene Hample today, who is the founder of the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound. Welcome back, Gene.
Good to be back.
We just almost wrapped up some dog talk show trivia. Had some very interesting questions, and one person got the harder one, I think, correct, and then had a great participant for the first question, which just means I have a prize pack still I need to give away, so I'm going to have to do dog talk show trivia again next week. Perfect. So, Eric, I have your question now, and this
is to win...
Wildside Salmon, which is a local company. It's freeze-dried salmon meat.
Sounds good.
For your cats.
For the cats, okay.
Well, you could eat it too if you want
to. Actually, I'm not a big fan of salmon, so I'm sure they will enjoy it very much.
Yes. Lucky for them. True or false, Eric, could you have an emotional support cat in housing?
I'm going to say true.
Correct. Well done.
Thank you. Arigato. To teach you a Japanese word.
Thank you, Eric. So you get to take home these fabulous salmon treats, and I know your cats do like these.
They like them very much, yeah.
Good. Excellent. Well, so Gene, now, back to talking about assistance dogs, service dogs. In your experience, because you're the founder of the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound, so you really do a lot in supporting people and their dogs ongoingly. And you know, I've had participation in the beginning part of it a lot with choosing the appropriate animal, the temperament testing, the matching with the person, all the evaluation. But then there's this whole lifetime of the animal after that, once there's a partnership that happens, then they go on and they work together and share their lives together. So what are some of the challenging areas that you've seen, most commonly come up for people as they continue to live out, live with and be partnered with a service animal?
I would think two things. One is the health of the animal, because the animal will age, mm-hmm. and it sometimes develops health issues that you couldn't foresee. And that can be very upsetting to mm-hmm. the partnership when a dog can't work for a period of time. And also recognizing those things early on, because the wishful thinking is that, in fact, the dog is just fine and it's going to be better tomorrow.
Yeah.
And not dealing with things up front. And the second is pretty much the same, and that is that training falls apart. It doesn't matter how well trained a dog is. If training is not kept up, it will go away. And a lot of times people get just into this habit with their dog, and they don't notice that the dog is doing things that they really don't want it to be doing. One of the things I often use as an example to the people in the club, it always makes me chuckle that the minute they use the hand control on their motorized wheelchairs, the minute the control clicks, even though they've not told the dog to get up, the dog jumps up.
Mm.
And a lot of times all they're trying to do is reposition their chair at the table at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want the dog up. But they've let this slide until finally every time the chair clicks, their dog is up, and which is not something that you would want. So they've allowed the behavior to occur and haven't gone back and retrained the dog that stay means stay until I tell you not to stay.
Yeah.
And little things like that will occur until it's a big problem, rather than dealing with little training issues when they're little problems.
Mm-hmm. So before it gets really firmly set in as just an automatic response for the dog where they're just basically conditioned.
And, you know, a lot of times I'll hear partners say, well, you know, my dog knows what I'm thinking. It is so nice, you know, that I don't have to say a word. And I always say, but when you get your successor dog, you're going to assume that that dog is going to be the same way because you as the handler have forgotten the cues that you need to give because you haven't needed to use them. And then your poor successor dog feels, you know, you feel like they're not as good as your old dog because you have forgotten to teach them all the things you used to do.
And I see that in pet dogs. You know, I mean, somebody has, even within the same breed, somebody has a golden retriever and then that dog passes on and then they get a puppy. And it's like, whoa, this was not the dog that I had. One, it's a different animal. But two, it's, you know, there's a lot that went into to getting the dog trained and calmed and all that sort of stuff. And then also I've seen, too, with pets is like when people go, if the dog's in a downstay, someone goes to pick up the leash. And then the dog, oh, we're going. Like they need to actually learn how to. No, so it just adds a different type of distraction. So,
and I think people with service dogs need to practice.
Yeah.
You know, for example, we'll teach a dog to help brace a person to get up if they were to fall. And then they don't fall for 2 years and they fall and they go, well, I fell and the dog didn't help me get up. Well,
Yeah. You
need to practice that every week. You don't have to fall hard. You just sort of slide off the couch or have someone at the house there in case there's a problem. But you have to have the dog continue to practice the task that it was taught so that when you need them, it's fresh in the dog's mind.
Mm. Yep. So the training, upkeep. Now, what about retirement?
You know, I'm pretty radical about retirement. I'm semi-retired myself, And I really like it. And I was lucky to be semi-retired while I was still healthy enough to enjoy skiing and hiking and doing a lot of things. And I really think that people tend to work a service dog too long.
Yeah.
For example, if I, as a golden retriever, would be at my age, I would be considered geriatric If I were a 10-year-old dog.
Right.
And yet I'm still seeing dogs at 10, 11, and 12 being taken out, and people will say, oh, but my dog wants to be with me. And I am sure the dog wants to be with them. But is it healthy for that dog to be out and about on slippery floors and getting up and down and climbing stairs and being out at that age? And the answer is probably not.
Yeah.
And so I would like to see people start to plan for their successor dogs when their dogs are 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not even talking about the dogs. I just lost a dog to cancer, and the dog was healthy, and 3 months it was dead.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about the things we can't plan for. I'm talking about planning ahead that our service dogs probably should be retiring. Guide dogs retires their dogs. They've always have at about, you know, 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old. And people would say, oh, well, that's way too early. But I think a dog who's worked should enjoy a good retirement.
Yeah.
Not a retirement that's forced because it's now crippled or it's now blind.
Sure.
And it's now a geriatric dog in the true sense Where it's just being cared for.
Right. And it seems like a respectful thing to do. Well, Jean, it's been a pleasure to have you back on the show and to share your knowledge about assistance dogs and, you know, just talking about all the stuff that we talked about. If you missed any part of this interview, you can listen to it on the Dog Talk Show website, which is www.dogtalkshow.com. All of our past shows, including our first interview, which was a while back, they are archived on the website. Just go to the podcast page, and then you can scroll through the shows, look at the guests, and if you'd like to hear a specific show, you just click on the play button right underneath that show, and it will automatically start playing from your computer, so make sure your speakers are on. You can also find all of our interviews and shows on iTunes as a free audio podcast. Next week, I'm going to be talking about dog behavior and training, which is my expertise for pet dogs, and I'll be talking about reactive behavior in particular. But if you have a question that you'd like me to answer on air, feel free to email me, host@dogtalkshow.com. Perhaps your dog has a quirky behavior that you've always wanted to ask someone about, or you're having a behavioral problem. Feel free to email me. I'd love to hear from you, host@dogtalkshow.com. And if you would like a free Dog Talk Show car sticker, you can email me at host@dogtalkshow.com as well. You can find the Dog Talk Show as well as the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound on Facebook. So you can like us both there as well. And I believe Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound is also listed under one of the Dog Talk Show page's favorites too. So you can find them there. Thanks so much for all the work you do, Gene. And thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.